It's the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
He is who he is, and he does a great job of making sure everybody's on the same page.
Every single week, I put my freaking heart and soul into this.
I would rather play with 10 people rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
Jay Bish.
Acknowledge me.
Man, the football season is winding down away from us. All we have left now are the NFL playoffs, and we're already down to the NFC and AFC championship games. In the NFL, Ohio State beats Notre Dame to claim the national championship. Just a little interesting tidbit from that game. Second game in a row, second national championship game in a row that has not featured at least one SEC team in the national championship game. Last year's game, Michigan and Washington, viewership-wise, it did okay. It did really well. This year's game did really well in the same manner, but it's a little interesting because there's some hidden information there. So that game between Ohio State and Notre Dame, over 22 million viewers tuned in to watch the Buckeyes claim the national championship over the Fighting Irish. That's a huge, huge number. What's interesting about that is that despite that number being so huge, the actual viewership from last year's game between Michigan and Washington to this year's game, Ohio State and Notre Dame, it fell. And it fell by a substantial number, 12%. It was down 12% in viewership. The 2024-2025 National Championship game, down 12% in viewership than the 2023-24 National Championship game. So despite the fact that it had a huge number, there were still actually less viewers tuning in to watch that game. Some say it's because, you know, college football is king in the South, and you didn't have really a Southern team there or an SEC team in. Some claim that, you know, there are just too many games. The new format just kind of lost people. Too many games. The season went too long. I think it's a combination, and I think college football maybe overstepped here. And yeah, you still got a huge number, but if you continue to decline, you know, that's not what college football wants to see. They want to see that number continually go up, because as that number goes up, so does revenue dollars. So just an interesting tidbit that the national championship game, down 12% as viewership, but still had a huge, huge number. Personally, I think that the college football playoff, we've got too many teams and it's going too long. I tuned in for bits and pieces of the game, the Notre Dame-Ohio State game, here and there. It's not something that I watched from the beginning to the end. And I really wasn't even that excited to watch it. It was on. And like I said, because it was on, I tuned in here and there. But for the most part, I was watching Monday Night Raw on Netflix. That's basically where I spent my Monday night. Yep, I spent my Monday night just watching Monday Night Raw on Netflix. Just wasn't as excited to watch that game as I have been in the past. Even last year with Washington and Michigan, I had an interest in that game. But, again, it was, you know, the regular format, the 14 playoff format, and it didn't run, you know, until Valentine's Day. So, yeah, just wanted to throw those numbers along to you. So the NFL playoffs, here we go. This is our last gasp for the football fans. We've got Commanders at Eagles and Bills at Chiefs. The Chiefs get to the game beating the Texans 23-14. The Commanders get to the game, the NFC Championship game, beating the Lions 45-31 in what I think would be considered a huge, huge upset. And my heart goes out to the Lion fans, because, you know, I felt like they were, you know, one of the best teams in the NFL, if not the best team in the NFL, and they go down and, you know, they don't win a playoff game. I don't remember the last time it was that the Lions won a playoff game. So if there's a Lions fan out there that knows the answer to that question, you know, find me on Facebook and send me what that game was and when it occurred. The Eagles get to the NFC Championship game to take on the Commanders with a 28-22 win over the Rams, and the Bills escape the Ravens 27-25 to get to the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs. So you've got Commanders at Eagles and Bills at Chiefs. In the NFC Championship game, Commanders at Eagles, the Eagles are a six-point favorite, not even getting a touchdown at home. The over-under is 47.5 in that game. The Commanders look really good offensively. They can score. 47.5, I think, is a really fair assessment of this game as far as the over-under goes. I would stay away from that. I think the Eagles' defense is going to be pretty good, and Jaden Daniels is a different animal. The Commanders will score. The question is how much and how well do the Eagles defense play? I haven't been able to wrap my brain around the Commanders being in the Super Bowl. So I'm gonna take the Eagles here to win the game. And again, it's a 6-point line. You should definitely take the Eagles to cover here by a touchdown. I think that's the smart money. Eagles cover as long as that line stays 6 points under a touchdown. In the AFC Championship game, Bills at Chiefs. The Chiefs are at home, and they're getting 2 points for at home. So typically, being at home is worth 3 points. And the Vegas folks don't feel that the Chiefs are going to get the full 3 points. So they're giving them 2 to be at home. So if you take the home field advantage away that normally you get 3 points for, you kind of look at it and say, well, then maybe the Bills are a +1 or a -1 favorite in that football game. Over-under is 47.5. I think you should take the over in that game. I think there's going to be a ton of points scored in that game, definitely more than 47.5. I'm taking the Bills here. I feel like that, every year it seems like Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills run up against the Kansas City Chiefs and the Chiefs get them and knock them out. And I just feel, and I said this in last week's show, I feel like this is the Bills' time. This is their year. This is the year where they finally figure it out and they get it done. Yeah, they have to go to Kansas City to do it. I understand that's not an easy venture, but I like the Bills to go on the road and beat Kansas City. So if you're a betting person, take the Bills here. And if you want to take the over under, that's fine. The safest bet, I guess, is the over under. But I like the Bills to beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl or in the AFC Championship game to get to the Super Bowl, which would give us a Bills-Eagles Super Bowl. Again, I feel like that the Bills, this is their year. If the Lions had gotten in, this would have been an absolutely fantastic Super Bowl. If the Lions had not lost and they get to the NFC Championship game and they win that game and you have Bills-Lions, I think the ratings for that game would have been through the roof, more so than it normally is for the Super Bowl, because you have two teams that have never won a Super Bowl. Lions have never been there. And, of course, everybody remembers those Bills teams from the late 80s and early 90s that couldn't get the job done. 0-4 in Super Bowls. So give me Bills and Eagles and give me the Bills to finally get that elusive Super Bowl championship, at least elusive Super Bowl win. And then it kind of, now you start getting into, where does that leave? Jim Kelly, is he going to be ecstatic that the Bills won the Super Bowl? Or is he going to be a little bummed that, when he was a guy, he couldn't get it done? I don't know.
The Bishop Media Sports Network presents the Southern Sports Edition Minute with Jason Bishop, the authority on Southern sports.
This Southern Sports Edition Minute is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, a strategic affiliate of Southeast Georgia Health System. For more information about services and physicians, visit sghs.org/summit. The college football season has come to an end with Ohio State claiming the national championship, beating Notre Dame in the title game. The ratings for that game were a mixed bag. The game garnered over 22 million viewers, which is a huge number. Despite this huge number, the viewership fell 12% from last year's national championship game. Last year's game featured Michigan and Washington. The Southern Sports Edition Minute is a product of the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Keep up with all your local sports teams at thesouthernsportsedition.com and look for your monthly copy of the Southern Sports Edition.
You love the game, but you don't love the pain. From the moment an injury sidelines you, turn to the experts at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery to get you back in the game quickly and safely. Our winning team of physicians and orthopedic surgeons work with everyone from weekend warriors to high school and professional athletes. We'll design a game plan just for you. We'll help you navigate diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and physical therapy using the latest techniques and technology. And we'll even show you the best ways to prevent future injuries. To play your best, you need to work with the best. Visit sghs.org/summit or call 912-466-7340 to learn more and schedule your appointment. That's 912-466-7340.
None of us really want to deal with it, but sometimes your roof needs some attention. Don't stress. Call your neighbors at DBM Roofing and let them take all the worry away. Whether it's a simple repair or you need a full replacement, you can depend on DBM Roofing to keep your family safe. Direct financing available? Give DBM Roofing a call for a free estimate at 912-326-5337 or check them out online at dbmroofing.com.
It's been a splashless offseason so far for the Atlanta Braves. The biggest signing that they have done, or the biggest move they've made, as far as addition, right? They've signed Brian De La Cruz, who is going to be a starting outfielder day one of the season as things stand right now. The other big move, of course, was shipping out Jorge Soler to free up some payroll, which they've done nothing with. I'm not really sure. I've had many conversations. I'm a huge Braves guy, right? So I've had many conversations about what is going on. You know, the Atlanta Braves made the public release statement that, you know, they were adding payroll to the budget, and yet they have not actually added payroll to the budget. It just kind of makes you scratch your head. They've lost out on a ton of guys, and, you know, they just lost AJ Minter, who signed a two-year, $22 million contract with the New York Mets. Minter in a Mets uniform. How weird is that going to be? And it makes me kind of think, you know, I know Minter was coming off the hip injury, but all prognosis was that he was going to make 100% recovery. He's in his early 30s. He's a high-leverage, left-handed, end-of-the-game reliever. He's got, you know, he's got closing stuff. He can be a closer. I think his biggest thing is between the ears as far as finding his. Remember, the Braves did give him a go a couple years ago in the closer's role, and he didn't do the job very well. But his stuff is great, especially against left-handed batters. I saw a stat where left-handed batters in his career were hitting like under 200, and runners inherited that or yeah, runners inherited that he had given up like less than 20% of runners inherited throughout his career. That's a staggering number. That is nuts. And I look at him, and he got 2 years, $22 million, so roughly $11 million a year to go play for the Mets. And I think to myself, gosh, Atlanta, you couldn't give AJ Minter, who's been, you know, in your, he came up in your system, been a huge cog in your bullpen. He's been your main guy in the eighth inning for years, and you couldn't give him $11 million a year? That's unfathomable to me that you lost AJ Minter for $11 million. And I'm quite certain that if the Braves had matched the Mets' offer, Minter would have probably stayed in Atlanta, considering that he had spent his whole career there. And yet he's going to be in a Mets uniform. That's just nutty to me. Opening day is going to be the opening day lineup is going to be interesting. By the way, the Jason Bishop Show is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System and by DBM Roofing. None of us really want to deal with it, but sometimes your roof needs some attention. Don't stress. Call your neighbors at DBM Roofing and let them take all the worry away. Whether it's a simple repair or a full replacement, you can depend on DBM Roofing to keep your family safe. Direct financing available. Give DBM Roofing a call for a free estimate, 912-326-5337. Give DBM a like on Facebook or check them out online, dbmroofing.com. The opening day lineup for the Atlanta Braves, a little interesting. I feel like the top of the order through the middle of the order, okay. But then when you get to that back end, it becomes a little dicey. So, and I'm just guessing, right? I don't really know who Brian Snicker is going to have hitting where. This is just kind of a general what I think is going to happen. Remember, the Braves aren't going to get Acuna back for at least the first month of the season. They're not going to get Spencer Strider back for at least the first month of the season. And Joe Jimenez is going to be out probably the entire season. If they get him back, it will be sometime in September. So that's keep that in mind when I'm going through this. So the Braves opening day lineup, I believe, is going to look something like this. Leading off, playing center is Michael Harris, okay? Over at second, batting second, is going to be Ozzie Albies. Batting third, playing third, Austin Riley. Batting fourth, playing first, Matt Olson. Fifth, playing DH, Marcell Ozuna. Sixth at catcher, who, you know, dreadful year for Sean Murphy last year. They're going to really need a bounce-back year from him if this lineup is going to be able to score runs. This is a very pivotal spot in the order, the six-hole for Murphy. The Braves really need him to have a 2023-type season instead of the season he had in 2024. Now, here's where it starts to get interesting. Batting seventh, playing right, Jared Kelnick. Batting eighth, playing left, Brian De La Cruz. And batting ninth, playing short, Orlando Arcia. Remember now, Arcia had a really down year offensively. There's been a lot of talk about possibly moving Arcia, which I don't think is going to be a good idea. I think Arcia will have a bounce back year, and he will be closer to what he was in 2023 than what he was in 2024. So I think holding on to Arcia is the best move. Jared Kelnick and Brian De La Cruz in the corner spots in the outfield. Defensively, that's fine. De La Cruz is a really good defensive outfielder. Kelnick, in my opinion, Kelnick is average, maybe a little below, but you know, serviceable outfielder. It's the bat for Kelnick that really bothers me. You know, he hit 15 home runs, but that's not really what Atlanta was hoping for when they rolled the dice on him. Remember, Kelnick was a first-round pick with the Mariners. He was going to be the guy that they built around, and at age 24, they gave up on him and shipped him over to Atlanta. Before last year with the Braves, his highest home run total had been 11 in a season. Last year, that was a career high in home runs with 15, but he ended up hitting like 230. And most of his at-bats came against right-handed pitching in a platoon role with Adam Duvall, and he still struggled. You know, there was a point there when Acuna first went out, they started hitting him leadoff, that he did okay. I believe his average even got up to 290. And you say, well, that's good, Jason. His average got up to 290. But the scary thing about that is, despite the fact that he got up to 290, he still ended up around 230. Think about the tailspin that he had to have gone in to drop from 290 around midway in the season to 230 to finish. So that really scares me. Brian De La Cruz, you know, good defensive outfielder, probably not going to give you a whole lot offensively. Same type of offensive numbers I think you can expect from him that you're going to see from Kelnick. So the offense scares me, especially in the back end. 6 through 9, a lot of question marks in the Braves order, the bottom half. The rotation is another point that I'm really, really concerned about for the Atlanta Braves. Chris Sale is probably going to, you know, coming off of a Cy Young win, he's going to be your number one starter again. Strider's not going to be there to start the year. So Chris Sale at 35 years old is going to be your number one. How much are you going to get from Chris Sale at 35? Keep in mind that last year, Atlanta skipped a lot of starts. A lot of his starts gave him extra rest just to keep him healthy and get him through the year. That worked. He won a Cy Young. But at some point, if you're skipping starts, you got to have other guys to be able to step in and take those extra starts. A lot of those guys you're going to see are going to get caught up from the minors. So There's going to be a bunch of starts in there with guys that might not be major league ready. Spencer Schwellenbach's probably going to be your two. He had a great campaign in 2024 as a rookie. Looked really good. But he's a rookie. Can he repeat what he did in 2024? You know, we'll see. Renaldo Lopez is going to hold down the three spot. And my knock on him is, you know, gosh dang, the guy would throw 100 pitches through five innings. He rarely pitched into the sixth inning. And that taxes your bullpen when you have a starter every fifth day that you hand the ball that you know that you're going to have to cover at least, you know, 3 to 4 innings with your bullpen. You know, it taxes your bullpen throughout the year. Then it gets interesting because there is no solidified fourth starter in the Braves rotation. You're going to have a conglomerate of guys that are going to compete for the fourth and fifth spot in the rotation, two spots. Those guys are going to be Ian Anderson, A.J. Smith-Shawver, Hurston Waldrop, Bryce Elder, and Dylan Dodd. Those are the most likely candidates to fill those last two rotation spots. Ian Anderson, let's be honest, he hasn't been the same since the 2021 World Series year. He hasn't been the same guy, and we haven't really even seen him since 2022 because he's been injured so much. A.J. Smith-Shawver is a guy the Braves are high on. He had 6 career starts. They gave him the ball in the postseason last year, and he did not pitch well. He wasn't ready. Hurston Waldrop, super high ceiling on this guy, but he got a couple of starts in the bigs. He's not ready. Bryce Elder, Jekyll and Hyde, right? Sometimes Bryce Elder is really good. Sometimes he's not. We have seen that throughout his career in Atlanta. That's the guy that you roll the dice on every time you give him the ball. And then Dylan Dodd, a guy that we have seen and pitched okay at times, and then other times he got knocked around but was never dominant. Another guy that I think is close but not ready. So you look at the back end of the Braves rotation and you're like, ugh, what are they going to do? There's not a lot of stability there. Now, I do think that Ian Anderson's going to have a bounce back year, and I do think Ian Anderson's going to be your solidified number four starter. So I feel good about that. He pitched really well when he got healthy in the minors, especially toward the second half of the season. He even went on record and said, you know, I'm ready whenever the Braves want to call me up. I want to get up there and pitch. So I think he feels like that he's healthy finally after 2.5 seasons of not being healthy. The bullpen, again, losing A.J. Minter and Joe Jimenez, those both were eighth-inning guys, and they're not there now. And you might get Jimenez back, you might not. So, you know, you're going to have Raisel Iglesias closing out the games. Probably Pierce Johnson becomes your eighth-inning guy. I mean, he did okay. Dylan Lee and Aaron Bummer are going to have to step up and fill the A.J. Minter shoes that are now left empty as far as from the left-handed side of the mound in late inning situations. Neither one of those guys have the stuff that A.J. Minter has, so we'll see how that goes. Daisbell Hernandez, pretty good last season, had some spats of being inconsistent. Grant Holmes was great, and I wouldn't be surprised if maybe Grant Holmes pitched his way into the starting rotation discussion, but, you know, he pitched great. I think that Atlanta will be fine there. They'll find roles for him. He may even end up in the seventh inning, possibly pitch his way into the eighth, depending. And Angel Perdomo, a very unheralded guy, lights up the radar gun. So had some control issues in the past. That will be a guy that Atlanta's going to give an opportunity to in their bullpen. So, you know, even the back end of the bullpen is a little sketch. So you've got the back end of the bullpen that's sketch. You've got the back end of the rotation that's a little shaky. And the back end of your lineup, a little dicey as well. So definitely not the type of team that I would say has a chance to win the division. You know, unless Alex Anthopoulos pulls something out major to improve the starting rotation and the back end of the order, you know, in these next few weeks and leading into spring training, the Atlanta is not going to beat the Mets, and they're gonna have troubles with the Phillies. Right now, as the Braves roster sits, they're the third best team in the NL East. I mean, that's just a fact. They are the third best team in the NL East, and with the roster currently constructed the way it is, they ain't winning the NL East. They're not better than the Mets, and they're not better than the Phillies.
No matter the temperature outside, the AC guys can get you ready for any weather, any time of the year. Your exclusive Trane dealer and Trane comfort specialists, high-quality work, trained professionals, top-notch local service. Give the professional hometown folks at the AC Guys a call, 912-638-5778, or check them out online at theacguysinc.net. And remember, it's hard to stop a train, and we are the AC Guys.
For hometown, honest, friendly service from a name you can trust, come on in to Bruce Kennedy Tire. For almost 20 years, Bruce Kennedy and his family have been taking care of our friends and neighbors. 2928 Norwich Street, across from Dollar General. Tires, alignments, minor mechanic, and AC work. 912-264-6578. Pop on in. We'd love to see you. Monday through Thursday, 7 to 4:30, and Friday, 7 to 3:30. Bruce Kennedy Tire, a name you can trust.
Here it comes, the big one, Valentine's Day. Guys, you can't mess this one up. Get on down to Cunningham Jewelers for a vast inventory of gifts, whether it be that perfect set of earrings this Valentine's Day or that diamond ring. Cunningham Jewelers' friendly staff will help you find that perfect gift no matter your budget. Cunningham Jewelers in historic downtown Brunswick, 912-265-8652, or online, cunninghamjewelers.com.
The friendly staff at Golden Isles Pharmacy would love to be your local pharmacy. Conveniently located just down from the hospital at 3010 Altama. Accepts most insurances. Hassle-free transfers and online transfers. Free delivery to St. Simons and Mainland Brunswick. Average in-store wait times under 5 minutes. Experience the difference for yourself. GoldenIslesPharmacy.com. 912-266-8140. Golden Isles Pharmacy.
I was a little curious the other day. I went back and looked at the recruiting for this past recruiting cycle. I was more interested to really break down and kind of delve deep in the Georgia recruiting class, thinking about what I saw in the game against Notre Dame, you know, some troubles on the offensive line, you know, running backs maybe not running the ball up to their potential, and certainly the Georgia Bulldogs led the country in drops from their wide receiving core. So I really wanted to go back and look and just kind of break down exactly what they have coming in for the 2025-2026 season. And so I'm going to share that with you. The Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System and by DBM Roofing. The expert team at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery treats athletes of all ages and abilities. Let our board-certified orthopedic surgeons and specialists get you back in the game quickly and safely. Call Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, 912-466-7340, or visit sghs.org. That's 912-466-7340. So in the Georgia recruiting class this cycle, they have 3 5-stars, 21 4-stars, and 5 3-stars. So that's 29 commits, I guess. Their class is currently ranked 2nd in the country. Texas has the number 1 class, by the way. So I was breaking this thing down, and what Georgia has is they have 2 defensive line. These are high school kids they've recruited, or actually portal and high school. 2 defensive linemen coming in, 3 edge rushers, 2 linebackers, 2 tight ends, 8 wide receivers, 5 offensive linemen, 7 safeties, 2 quarterbacks, 2 defensive backs or 2 cornerbacks, and only 1 running back. So what these numbers tell me is that Georgia is pretty concerned about the same thing. Kirby Smart is concerned about the same things that I'm concerned about, which is wide receiver, offensive line. And one thing that I didn't really notice, but maybe Kirby did, he's got 7 safeties coming in. So apparently Kirby feels like that the safety position, the defensive back position, might be one that they really need to get better at, considering that he brought in 7 guys at the safety spot. And that safety spot Four of them are high school kids that you know they're going to develop, but three of those guys are transfers that came in. He recruited Todd Robinson, who's a four-star out of Valdosta, Jalen Morgan, who's a four-star out of Rockville, Tennessee, a four-star Rasheen Dinkins from Warner Robins, a three-star Daniel Okunwa from Hillgrove. Now, the kids that transferred in, those are kids that he recruited out of high school. The kids that transferred in, this is all at safety. The kids that transferred in, Adrian Maddox, who's a three-star out of UAB, Jaden Harris, who's a three-star out of Miami, and Zion Branch, who's a three-star out of USC. Of course, Zion's got a brother, Zachariah. Zion and Zachariah Branch, both transferring to Georgia from USC. Both are three-stars. Zachariah is a wide receiver. We'll talk about him in a minute. So you've got seven guys that are transferring in at safety for Georgia. Three of them are transfers and four from the high school ranks. So let's just kind of break this down. From the defensive line position, they've got two coming in. Both guys are recruited out of high school. Elijah Griffin, who's that monster five-star defensive lineman from Savannah Christian, and then a three-star, J.J. Haney, from Santa Margarita Catholic in California. Edge rushers, Isaiah Gibson, five-star out of Warner Robins. Darren Ekinigbon, four-star from Hillside, New Jersey, and another four-star from North Atlanta, Chase Linton. Those are your edge rushers that Kirby has recruited to come in. At linebacker, he's recruited two kids to come in at linebacker, Zayden Walker, a five-star from Schley County, and Anthony Crua, a four-star from Marietta Blue Devils. At tight end, Elias Williams will come in as a four-star from Camden County. Remember, Elias Williams started at Charlton and then transferred over to Camden and finished there. Ethan Barber, who's a four-star out of Milton at the tight end position. And those are two tight ends that Kirby's got coming in. Here's the wide receiver spot. Talon Taylor, a four-star out of Geneva, Illinois. C.J. Miley, a four-star out of Milton. Landon Roldan, a four-star out of North Oconee. Eight wide receivers here. Tyler Williams, a three-star from Sefner, Florida. Thomas Blackshear, who's a three-star from Calvary Day. And here are your transfers. So that gives you one, two, three, four, five receivers that Kirby is recruiting from the high school ranks. And then he took three transfer receivers. Micah Bell, who is rated as a three-star out of Vanderbilt. Noah Thomas, a four-star out of Texas A&M. And the aforementioned Zachariah Branch, transferring in from USC. He's rated a three-star. Eight wide receivers. And I think that's, you know, I think that's completely appropriate with what the receiving corps did this past season. You got to upgrade your receiving corps because it was not very good. Offensive line, Georgia's has five offensive linemen coming in, and they are all high school recruits. No transfers in from the offensive line. All high school recruits. Juan Gaston, a four-star from Westlake. Cortez Smith, a four-star from Lilburn. Mason Short, a three-star from Evans. And I saw Mason Short play a couple times. Pretty good. I think that three-star is actually a little low for him. Dennis Uzachukwu, a three-star from Peachtree Ridge. And Dontrell Glover, a three-star from Langston Hughes. So Kirby is going to reload at the offensive line and try to develop. No transfers coming in. And he's got a pretty decent offensive. He's got some experience coming back, but he's, you know, Tate Ratledge, you're going to lose him, and a couple other guys off the offensive line too. I think it's going to be a big year for Camden County standout, Micah Morris. I think Micah Morris is going to have a really good year stepping in at the offensive line for the Georgia Bulldogs. I think he'll be an All-American. And again, you know, I talked about the safeties, seven of those guys coming in. At quarterback, what's interesting to me is that no, at this point, no transfer quarterbacks. And it looks like Kirby's going to go with Gunner. Looks like Gunner Stockton is going to be the guy. He will probably compete with Jalen Rashada for the starting job, but Gunner will probably win that job. Kirby kind of showing some loyalty here to Gunner by not getting a transfer guy to come in. And, you know, frankly, there aren't a ton of talented transfer guys. You know, the most talented one's Carson Beck. He was just there. He's leaving. So Gunner's probably going to be your guy. Ryan Montgomery, who's a four-star out of Findlay, Ohio, a lot of high praise, pocket-type guy. He's getting a lot of hoopla about coming in. Four-star out of Findlay, Ohio. So, and then another one, Hezekiah Millender, right here from, right there from Athens, a three-star from Clark County Central. So two quarterbacks Kirby went out and recruited in. At corner, Jonte Gilbert, a four-star from Douglas. Dominic Kelly, a four-star. He went down to IMG Academy down to Florida to get Dominic Kelly, a four-star cornerback. And the this is the thing that makes me scratch my head a little bit, right? Because the running game wasn't that great for Georgia. You don't have any transfers coming in as of now. And Bo Walker, a three-star from Raven Gap, the lone running back that will be added to the Georgia running back room for next season. So Kirby must feel pretty good about the young backs that he has, considering that he's not bringing in transfer, or he didn't bring in transfer, and the only kid that committed at the running back position was Bo Walker from Raven Gap. So all in all, 3 5 stars, 21 four stars, and 5 3 stars, the number two class in the country for Kirby and the Georgia Bulldogs. A lot of safeties, a lot of wide receivers, a lot of offensive linemen Kirby recruited to come and try to make his football team better. Really, it's going to all depend on Gunnar Stockton and how well can the Georgia Bulldogs protect Gunnar and how well can they run the ball.
At Jack's Tire and Brake, we understand the economy is tough. That's why we will always give a fair and honest price. No games, no surprises, just honest folks you know and trust. Whether it's tires, brakes, AC suspension, or any minor mechanic work, Jack's Tire and Brake will treat you right. So come on into Jack's Tire and Brake at 485 Warren Mason Road, off of 341 behind Racetrack and KFC, or give us a call 912-265-8674 and find us on Facebook.
Your Bulldog-friendly lumber and hardware headquarters on St. Simons is J.C. Strother Company, serving St. Simons since 1930, so you know they are doing it right. Everything you need at low prices, right here on St. Simons. Free delivery to anywhere on the island, 912-638-8601. Competitive pricing, J.C. Strother Company. And be sure to stop on in for all your Trex decking needs. Low maintenance and no painting. And of course, go Dogs!
Your hometown and independent pharmacy in Darien is Jets Pharmacy in the Bluestein Shopping Center. Jets Pharmacy accepts all insurances, drive-through service, and delivers to Darien and surrounding areas, including Brunswick. Immunizations, competitive cash prices, and even med synchronization. So get on over to your friendly neighbors at Jets Pharmacy or give them a call at 912-437-3784. Jets Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy. Hey, sports fans, in case you missed it, Max Barbecue now has two locations to serve you. Max's new location, right next to Grandy's off Cypress Mill Road in Brunswick, has all of the same favorites you'll find out at the Sterling location across from Jane Macon Light, Monday through Saturday. Both locations open for lunch, and come on over for dinner at the Sterling location. Max Barbecue. Give them a like on Facebook.
Back on the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Joining me, Dr. Bo Sasser from Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, a strategic affiliate of Southeast Georgia Health System. Dr. Sasser, thanks for taking the time.
Hey, great to be here.
So we're right there with baseball season. Pitchers and catchers report in a couple of weeks. The Atlanta Braves, you know, looking at their pitching staff, we'll see, you know, what's in store for that. The focus here, Spencer Strider. Scheduled to be back. Braves are optimistic they'll have him back by May, somewhere at the beginning of May. So he'll, you know, they're thinking he'll miss a month of the beginning of the season, recovering from the UCL tear that he had. So first I want to start off, I know we've talked about it before, but just catch our audience up. Tell us what a UCL tear is.
Right. So a lot of people are more familiar with the term Tommy John surgery. Mm-hmm. And it's basically the ligament on the inside of your elbow that gets so much stress during a throw that these pitchers will actually tear it. And it can be quick, like one bad pitch, they feel a pop and they tear it that way. Or it can be sort of slow and steady or attritional just from hundreds of pitches. And, you know, it's basically one of those injuries helped put Jimmy Andrews, a great sports medicine surgeon, on the map, because he developed and got many players back on the mound with the Tommy John surgery, which is ulnar collateral ligament surgery. And it's come a long way from even that time. And So now the rehab is a little faster and the results might be a little bit better.
So Strider suffered this injury early in 2024.
Right.
And so we're looking at basically almost a calendar year for him to recover. Is that about right?
It is. Yeah. It is.
What type of rehab has he been doing?
You know, at first, it's just you don't want that elbow to get too tight. Anytime you do any sort of ligament surgery, ACL, UCL, you want to allow the ligament to heal under the least amount of stress possible. And that's another one of those reasons. And to mention, these days, they're using that internal brace, which is sort of like a suture supplement that overlies the repair to give a little stress on the repair. We do it for ACLs, they do it for ulnar collateral ligaments, other wrist injuries, ankle injuries, high ankle sprains. And so the first thing you're trying to do is get that motion back. And with a lot of these, that can take 6 to 8 weeks. These pitchers need all of it. Mm-hmm. And then they work on getting their strength back and their stability. So they probably don't really start throwing a ball, even if it's just against a little trampoline, for 3 to 4 months or even longer. And we're just talking little stuff, right, just to get your feel back. And then at around usually 8 to 9 months, that's when you're starting to do short toss, those kind of things. And then again, these trainers at that level have so many other ways to get that stability. And not even just that stability, but that what we call proprioception, which is that ability to know where your arm is in space. Because, of course, with a pitch, they have to know where they're releasing the ball and all that.
Again, joining us, Dr. Bo Sasser from Summit Sports Medicine Orthopedic Surgery, a strategic affiliate of Southeast Georgia Health System. I just want to ask your opinion on something, right? So we have gotten into the era of Major League Baseball where, you know, high velocity, basically everybody's throwing 95 plus. And to me, it seems that the arm injuries, especially the Tommy John stuff, has right. ramped up. Are you in agreement with me on that, that some of these, it seems to be an epidemic that has come with the guys that throw harder, or do you think I'm just delusional?
No, I agree. I mean, it's they've tried to get rid of radar guns with travel ball, so a kid's not sitting there watching his velocity, because everybody wants to. It's not as much about how many times you struck out somebody or your ability to get someone out, like Greg Maddux used to do,
right,
which is just pick at them all over the plate and dink them, and he would get them out that way with grounders, not strikeouts. Was amazing, and that's why he had, 350 games and 20-plus years in the majors. So the question is, does it come from all, playing so young, selecting baseball so early, and so it's just sort of a injury that occurs over a decade? Mm-hmm. And also from throwing it 99 miles an hour. And so you're just trying to blitz it through somebody instead of play these people with more strategy, which I think the great pitchers did.
Right.
It was more of a chess game up on the mound.
We may come to a point, Dr. Sasser, where we're getting all these great pitchers that are throwing hard in this era to have so many injuries that we're going to eventually run out of starting pitchers to put in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
I mean, right. that might be a real thing.
Right, right.
Let's turn back to Strider. So when he comes back, what do you expect? Is he going to step in and start throwing 99 right out the gate, or is it going to be something that we see kind of him get stronger as the year goes?
I think it'll be get stronger as the year goes. And I think a good pitching coach, and there's a lot of – since – this type of surgery and this type of rehab is not new. And so all these coaches are talking to each other and all the physicians and the trainers are talking to each other. You know, it might be a way to look at Strider's kind of pitching regimen and diversify that a little bit. Might have been more of a fastball pitcher. Now he's more of a changeup pitcher, you know, those kind of things to maximize his ability to pitch post Tommy John's.
The greatest pitching performance that I have seen in my lifetime, Game 7 of the 91 World Series, Jack Morris throws 10 scoreless innings against the Braves. That will never, ever happen again.
Ever.
Ever. Dr. Sasser, appreciate your time.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep.
Trying to find great family fun, but don't know where to look? Here is your answer. The Strike Zone at the end of the Spur in Brunswick offers the family-friendly environment you've been looking for. Bowling, arcade, and blacklight mini golf. The Strike Zone has something for the entire family. Call or go online and reserve for your next event or birthday party. 912-265-6600. TGIStrikeZone.com.
Here it comes, the big one, Valentine's Day. Guys, you can't mess this one up. Get on down to Cunningham Jewelers for a vast inventory of gifts, whether it be that perfect set of earrings this Valentine's Day or that diamond ring. Cunningham Jewelers' friendly staff will help you find that perfect gift no matter your budget. Cunningham Jewelers in historic downtown Brunswick, 912-265-8652 or online, cunninghamjewelers.com.
The friendly staff at Golden Isles Pharmacy would love to be your local pharmacy. Conveniently located just down from the hospital at 3010 Altama, accepts most insurances, hassle-free transfers and online transfers, free delivery to St. Simons and Mainland Brunswick, average in-store wait times under 5 minutes. Experience the difference for yourself. GoldenIslesPharmacy.com, 912-266-8140. Golden Isles Pharmacy.
Your Bulldog-friendly lumber and hardware headquarters on St. Simons is J.C. Strother Company, serving St. Simons since 1930, so you know they are doing it right. Everything you need at low prices, right here on St. Simons. Free delivery to anywhere on the island, 912-638-8601. Competitive pricing, J.C. Strother Company. And be sure to stop on in for all your Trex decking needs. Low maintenance and no painting. And of course, go Dogs!
I told you earlier that I was kind of delving into the recruiting cycle from this past go-around, and with that came, you know, all the recruiting rankings from each school. So I'm going to run those down for you really quick. This segment of the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System and by DBM Roofing. So as I mentioned earlier, the number one recruiting class, the Texas Longhorns, 25 commits, 3 5-stars, 16 4-stars, and 6 3-stars. Georgia, we already went into depth at them. They're number two. Ohio State is third in the recruiting class. They had 26 commits. 4 was Alabama. 21 commits, 3 5-stars, 15 4-stars, and 3 3s. 5th was Oregon. No surprise there. 20 commits, 2 5-stars, 17 4-stars, and they had 1 3-star. Auburn gets into the top 10 at number 6 with 25 commits. Hugh Freeze trying to rebuild the Auburn Tiger program. No 5-stars for the Tigers, but they did get 17 4-stars and 8 3-stars. Texas A&M at 7, 25 commits as well. They got 2 5-stars, 18 4-stars, and 5 3-stars. The LSU Tigers at 8 with 23 commits, 1 5-star, 24 4-stars, 2 3-stars. Michigan Wolverines at number 9, also trying to rebuild after their national championship year from a couple of years ago. 23 commits, 2 5 stars, 14 4 stars, and 6 3 stars. The University of Florida, Billy Napier, gets inside the top 10 in recruiting. 25 commits. He got a 5-star, 14 fours, and 9 threes. So the University of Florida doing pretty well in the recruiting wars. Tennessee was 11th, 26 commits. They got a 5-star, 15 fours, and 10 threes. Notre Dame ranged in at 12th. They got 24 total commits. Ole Miss was 16. By the way, Miami was 14 with 21 commits. They didn't get any 5-stars. Ole Miss with 23 commits. They did get one, and then they got 12 4-stars and 9 3-stars. South Carolina in the top 20. A very good recruiting class by South Carolina standards. 26 commits, no 5-stars, 12 4-stars, and 14 3-stars. Georgia Tech getting inside the top 10, and they're doing what I said they should do all along, which is exactly recruit the Atlanta area, take those 3-stars and coach them up. You're in the ACC. It won't take much to get to an ACC championship game because the conference is so weak. They had 26 commits. 18 of those 26 commits were 3-stars, 6 4-stars. They did not get any 5-stars. Florida State at 20 with 22 commits, which was a little surprising to me considering kind of where the Seminoles are. Mississippi State just outside the top 25 at 26, 28 commits, 24 of those 28 commits were 3-stars. They got 4 4-stars as well. Clemson at 27, no 5-stars, 6 4s, and 9 3s. At 30, a little surprising to me inside the top 30, Kentucky, no 5-stars, 14 3-stars, and 7 4-stars. SMU, a little bit of a shocker, inside the top 35. They're at 32, 23 commits. They didn't get any 5-stars. 19 3-stars is what SMU landed in the recruiting cycle. And then we fall all the way down to the number 66 class, Georgia State. 33 commits for the Panthers. 25 of those were 3-stars. Georgia Southern in the top 100. 20 commits, 11 3-stars for the Eagles. They were at 95. Vanderbilt inside of the top 75. Definitely a win for the Commodores. 75th recruiting class, best recruiting class. 13 commits, 12 of those are 3-stars. And Mercer just outside of the top 150. Great recruiting class for Mercer. 12 commits. They got 1 3-star, and that's the highest they got. Everything else was 2-star. So Mercer gets 1 3-star of the 12 commits, and then they get 11 2-stars, which, you know, for Mercer, you're going to, yeah, you might land a 3-star every once in a while, maybe get a 4-star, but that's pretty much kind of what you're doing if you're Mercer. You're recruiting those 2-stars to kind of coach up, try to get as many 3-stars as you can. To be able to field out your team there if you're Mercer. So just to recap the top 10, right? 1 was Texas, 2 was Georgia, 3 Ohio State, 4 Alabama, 5 Oregon, 6 Auburn, 7 A&M, 8 was LSU, 9 Michigan, and 10 was Florida. Tennessee honorable mention at 11. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 of the top 10 recruiting classes, SEC schools. For those folks that say the SEC is not the best conference, you have proof in the pudding from the national championship games for the last couple of years, sure. But when you look at the recruiting cycles and the recruiting rankings, 7 out of your top 10 teams for kids committing to go to that school, 7 of the top 10 were SEC schools. So, you know, say what you will, the SEC is still recruiting at a much higher level than any other conference. When you've got 7 of the top 10 recruiting classes in your conference, you know, to me that says a lot about kids wanting to go and where they want to play. And, you know, most kids want to go and they want to win. They want to play at the best schools. 7 of those top 10 teams are SEC schools. So, you know, say what you will about the national championship games the last 2 years, but then also if you go back past the last 2 years, the SEC has dominated the SEC championship game or the national championship games, not just by putting schools into the games, but typically when an SEC school gets there, they win the game.
This has been the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
The Bishop Media Sports Network presents the Southern Sports Edition Minute with Jason Bishop, the authority on Southern sports.
This Southern Sports Edition Minute is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, a strategic affiliate of Southeast Georgia Health System. For more information about services and physicians, visit sghs.org/summit. The college football season has come to an end with Ohio State claiming the national championship, beating Notre Dame in the title game. The ratings for that game were a mixed bag. The game garnered over 22 million viewers, which is a huge number. Despite this huge number, the viewership fell 12% from last year's national championship game. Last year's game featured Michigan and Washington. The Southern Sports Edition Minute is a product of the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Keep up with all your local sports teams at thesouthernsportsedition.com and look for your monthly copy of the Southern Sports Edition.
You love the game, but you don't love the pain. From the moment an injury sidelines you, turn to the experts at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery to get you back in the game quickly and safely. Our winning team of physicians and orthopedic surgeons work with everyone from weekend warriors to high school and professional athletes. We'll design a game plan just for you. We'll help you navigate diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and physical therapy using the latest techniques and technology. And we'll even show you the best ways to prevent future injuries. To play your best, you need to work with the best. Visit sghs.org/summit or call 912-466-7340 to learn more and schedule your appointment. That's 912-466-7340.
None of us really want to deal with it, but sometimes your roof needs some attention. Don't stress. Call your neighbors at DBM Roofing and let them take all the worry away. Whether it's a simple repair or you need a full replacement, you can depend on DBM Roofing to keep your family safe. Direct financing available? Give DBM Roofing a call for a free estimate at 912-326-5337 or check them out online at dbmroofing.com.